Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum, and welcome to the mid morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isuf, every Saturday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum, and welcome to the mid morning show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isuf, every Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays between 10 and 11 a.m. Today being the 17th of Safar 1447, corresponding to Tuesday, the 12th of August 2025. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunny day here in Johannesburg, Lanesia. And I hope that where you are listening to us, it is a beautiful sunny, and hope you're having wonderful weather. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, today we're going to be discussing something very important and benefits with regards to this, and that is the Islamic etiquettes of visiting the sick. So firstly, let us understand, when somebody is sick, be it at home and in hospitals, you know, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them complete shifa'i kamila ajila in whatever sickness they have. Always remember that even if a thorn pricks you, it is a means of exasperating your sins and is cleansing your sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all those that are sick, who have been in hospitals, who are at home, who are bedridden, grant them complete shifa and a speedy recovery. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. In a time when we can feel often disconnected, the simple act of visiting your Muslim brother in the time of need is a profound reminder of our shared humanity and empathy, and also our spiritual obligation to one another. Islam provides us with a clear blueprint for this act, detailing not only the immense reward, but also the proper etiquette to ensure that our Muslim brother and to visit is a source of comfort and barakah. Now, let us look at what is and the value of visiting the sick. The act of visiting the sick is so beloved to Almighty Allah that it is equated with visiting Him. In a powerful narration in Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, on the day of resurrection, on the day of Qiyamah, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O son of Adam, when I was sick and you did not visit me, we will say, O our Rabb, how could I have visited you when you are the Lord of the worlds? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, did you not know that my slave so and so was sick and you did not visit him? Did you not know that had you visited him, you would have found me with him? This is narrated in Muslim. So this hadith shows us the so immense status of visiting a simple act, be it a person who was going through the so-called pandemic, but you know, we make dua that whoever had succumbed to this terrible, terrible disease, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the highest stages in Jannah and full kabad nur, and grant the families a sabrun jameel. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Because you know, during the 2020 to 2023, 2024 period, it was very, very sad, you know, because a lot of people that we heard and we knew, or we did not know, we heard that they passed away, and we make dua. It was a very trying time. I know during that period also, my beloved father, Allah Ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus, had passed away, but he did not pass away because of COVID, but rather he passed away. He had a cardiac arrest. The heart failed and he passed away. It was a short period, within the space of 2 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him and all the marhumin Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Now this hadith shows us immense status of this simple act by visiting a sick person. And it is a means of drawing closer to Almighty Allah, because you must understand that health is wealth. When you are sick, you cannot move. The doctors will put you off for 3 days. They tell you get bed rest. And in that 3 days, you are at home. You know, but you make your salah. Your salah is obligatory. You have to perform your salah. But the circumstances that when you are in a hospital, some people are in ICU, they can't make their salah. Allah Ta'ala forgive them and grant them a speedy recovery. And it is also a fundamental right of every Muslim upon another, as stated by our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that there are 5 rights of a believer of a Muslim over another Muslim. The first is to return a greeting when someone says Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. It is wajib upon you to give the jawab and say Wa Alaikum Assalam Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. The second is to visit the sick. When you know of somebody who is sick in hospital, it is your duty, even if you are close by. If you are close by, then it is your duty to go and visit. Or if you know the person, to visit them, to find out if they're okay, if their family needs anything. You know, you show that concern, that empathy towards the person. And when you hear of a janaza or you see a janaza, to follow the janaza. And when someone invites you for any particular reason, then you should accept the invitation. And when someone sneezes, they say, Alhamdulillah, you must, in turn, when you hear it, you must say, Yarhamakumullah, Yarhamakullah. That is your duty when you hear someone sneeze. This is stated in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when a person visits his sick brother in the morning, 70,000 angels, imagine, 70,000 malaika, pray for him until the evening. And when he visits his Muslim brother in the evening, the 70,000 malaika pray for him until the morning, and he will have a garden in Jannah. This is narrated in Tirmidhi. My dear respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, these are not mere social courtesies, but rather these are a profound spiritual acts that is narrated in so many Sahih Hadith and also Hadith Qudsi. And it will fill our lives with barakah and it will pave our clear path towards Jannah. Now that we have understood the blessings and the barakah and the etiquettes of visiting the sick, let's now understand when we're going to visit the person, what should we do, how long we should be there, you know, things that we must say. Rather, when you see a person, give them hope. Don't tell a person, or don't make them feel that, you know, they got no time left. Rather, give them hope and tell them that, you know what, inshallah, you're going to be okay. You know, you'll be out of here in a few days, or you'll get well soon. You know, things like that, words of encouragement, not words of discouragement. Obviously, as a person, as a human, as an insan, you cannot go to the person and say, hey, you know, you got 2 months to live. How will that person feel? I mean, you must be something not right in your head to go and tell a person that, you know, you got 2 months to live. And don't, like I was saying, do not speak of death to the person who has a terminal illness, but rather remind them that verily Allah Ta'ala is with the patient. Allah Ta'ala is the ultimate healer. And every, like I mentioned in the beginning of the program, that every illness is a means of expiating one's sins. And when you visit them, you make dua for them. And you know, a sick person's dua is also accepted. So we ask them to make dua for you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and he made a specific dua for the sick. And he says that no harm, it will be a purification. No harm, it will be a purification, Allah willing. This is narrated in Sahih Bukhari. Another dua that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had taught us, that whilst he placed his hand on the patient, his right hand on the patient, he read the following dua. O Allah, Lord of the mankind, Remove the affliction and grant healing. You are the healer, and there is no healing except your healing, a healing that leaves no disease behind. O Allah, Lord of the mankind, remove the affliction and grant healing. You are the healer. There is no healing except your healing, a healing that leaves no disease behind. And also, we should read Surah Fatiha. Place your hand on the patient or the one who is sick. And you should read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow on the person. Also, you should read the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala grant him complete shifa. When you're visiting a person, and a person who is sick, who is tired, who is in pain, a lot of pain, you know, maybe after an operation, or maybe they're going through some terminal illness, we should give them a lot of rest. And we should keep our visit very short and brief. We shouldn't, because the hospital hours, obviously with the family members, it's a different story, right? But if you're visiting a person, we should rather keep it very short, very simple. Hospital hours are almost always like an hour. Doesn't mean that you must sit over there, you must make a 1 hour story and punch out to the person. You must understand that person doesn't have that energy. He's in a hospital for a reason, because he's sick. You know, he doesn't have that energy like a person who is not sick, who is not in hospital. That person has maybe trips, and you got the machines running through him, and now you want to make all these other worldly panchat. So many people that I know, and now recently, on Saturday, my beloved uncle, my father's cousin, he passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus and grant the families the Sabr and Jameel, the Bini family. My uncle was in a coma for 6 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks. He never hear anything of the outside world. He never spoke to anybody. Nobody, they came to visit him. Yes, the family came to visit him. But look how Allah Ta'ala made it, that he never interacted with the world for that 7 weeks. He was away from the fitna of this world. Allah Ta'ala protected him. And such a mood Allah Ta'ala gave him. Allah Ta'ala bless him. He did so much good work for the community itself. And Allah Ta'ala will reward him and save him from the adab of the qabr. Ameen. A wise scholar, Imam Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi, had advised that the visit should be brief as possible, and the reward is in your intention and not your duration. The reward is in the intention and not in the duration. When you're visiting a person, always choose a correct time or a convenient time. Don't visit the person when the hospital is doing their rounds, or when it's time to change their medication. You know, then it becomes a bit uneasy for the patient, for the person who is sick. Rather make it a time where it is comfortable for the patient and for their family. Visit them during the day, you know, because at night they want to have their rest. The hospitals are doing their rounds. And now I know often the hospitals have that evening hours, but try and make a plan and visit them during the day. You know, when it's a bit quieter, then you have a little bit more time to spend with them. Now, the purpose of the visit is to show that you worry and you care about the person. Listen to them in what they're saying. You know, when you hear of a person had an accident, or, you know, they've been diagnosed with a terminal illness or an illness itself, speak to them in a soft tone. Not like as though you are speaking to your friend, but rather talk softly, humbly. Ask them, how are they doing? How are you feeling? What the doctors have to say, you know, words of comfort. Speak to them in a comforting tone. Give them words of encouragement. Make them understand or make them feel that they're going to be okay. Because that's the thing that a person needs, you know, they'll tell you, make dua for me. Make dua for me. Because a person who makes a dua for them, Allah Ta'ala will accept, will answer the dua. And you know, you don't know whose duas sometimes will be accepted. Duas are accepted, that's one thing. But when you're visiting a sick person, then that person tells you, you know what, make dua for me. You make dua for that person, Allah Ta'ala will grant him complete shifa. You know, every person, the dua is so important. Even when a person, you make dua in the highest form of love. The highest form of love is when you make dua for a person in their absence. So when a person, when you make dua for a person in their absence, you know, you say, Ya Allah, grant them complete shifa and make it easy for them in whatever they are going through and remove their affliction, remove their pain, remove their suffering, whatever it is, you know, Allah Ta'ala grant them complete shifa kamila ajila. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a Muslim, male or female, continues to be afflicted with calamities in his person, property and crops until he meets Allah, the Exalted. For the patient, illness is not just a physical hardship, but rather it's a spiritual purification. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person, a Muslim, male or female, continues to be afflicted with calamities in his person, property and crops until he meets Allah, the Exalted, will be free from all sins. So when we're going through anything in life, nah, don't feel as though you, Allah Ta'ala is punishing you, no. But rather look at the positive side of it. That Allah Ta'ala is removing or removing the sins from my life, the guna that I've committed. It's Allah's way of cleansing, you know. Don't feel as though Allah Ta'ala never punishes his banda or his soul, but rather he will look, Allah Ta'ala will look for means and ways of trying to forgive his sin, his banda. Every pain and every ache is a means of exasperating sins and raising one ranks with Almighty Allah. It is a time for patience, reflection, and drawing closer to Almighty Allah through heartfelt du'as. And for the visitor, it's a powerful reminder for our own mortality and the fragile of health. Imagine you met a person last week. They were all healthy, hearty, joking, you know, lively. And the next thing you hear, they are in hospital or they had an accident and they are in hospital. Now, that reminds us that our life can change within a split second. That's why we should read the dua, the Masnoon dua, before we leave home. Allahumma bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allahi wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That Ya Allah, you are asking Allah Ta'ala to protect you. Bismillahi tawakkaltu, you are putting your trust in Almighty Allah, that Allah Ta'ala protect you from any calamities during the day. And when you visit a person, it softens your heart. It softens your heart as a visitor that you see the person that's laying there, that's laying in the hospital bed, or is laying at home, and they can't move. Not that they can't move, but they are weak. They are weak because they have no body, they have no energy in them. So they are sick and they rely on the next person, but they make zikr of Almighty Allah. Allah Ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He's the most merciful. Allah is Ghafoor, the most forgiving. And we must make shukr for the bounty, the ni'mat that Almighty Allah has given us, and that is the bounty of health. But we abuse this health. We abuse this health. We do it in the wrong ways. we get involved in the wrong things. And then when calamity falls us, Allah Ta'ala says in the Noble Quran, وَمَنْ أَصَابَتْ مِنْ مُسِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamity befalls you, it's because of your own wrongdoing. You caused it with your own hand. So that's why, my dear respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we should try as much as possible to refrain from sins and try to keep and be good and do the good things. Yes, we are insan. We will err. We will make errors. We will commit sin. But we turn to Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. You are the most forgiving. You love to forgive, Ya Allah. So forgive me for my sins. We make that constant dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for each and every one of us. And our parting hadith, that it strengthens the community, the bonds. And it reminds us that we are all part of a single body. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us, that the believers in their mutual kindness, compassion and sympathy are like one body. Now look at it. Our brothers and sisters who are suffering in Gaza, they are being starved. They are becoming shuhada because of malnutrition, because of the Zionist regime, that they are starving them. But look how Almighty Allah is. Allah Ta'ala is not using the one community, but the whole global world is now recognizing. Look how many countries are recognizing Palestine, Australia, Canada, France, the United Kingdom. You know, that they had a march recently on the iconic Sydney Bridge. The Australian Prime Minister had mentioned that they will recognize Palestine as a state in the beginning of September. Subhanallah. Look at how many countries. Before Gaza, Palestine was not known. But the Zionists were trying from 1947 to destroy the Masjid al-Aqsa and to rebuild the second temple of Sulaiman alayhi salam. But how can you get to a person, or how can you destroy something that is divinely protected for 75, almost 80 years that they've been trying to destroy Masjid al-Aqsa? Our brothers and sisters have become shuhada in so many ways. Allah Ta'ala bless them. Allah Ta'ala raise their ranks in Jannah. And now look how, with patience, even the mothers who lose their children, they bear their patience. And some brothers and sisters, when they hear of their family members pass away, they become shuhada. They cry. Because Allah Ta'ala never grant them the state of shuhada and martyrdom. Look how, what a status, what a rank it is. The rank of martyrdom and shuhada, subhanallah. The hadith, the believers in their mutual kindness, compassion and sympathy are like one body. That when one limb aches, the whole body reacts with sleeplessness and fever. And that's how it is in Gaza. That we at the Ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we fear for our brothers. We see daily images, daily videos. Just now recently, 2 days ago, the journalist, the correspondent from Al Jazeera that was so prominent with covering the stories, was martyred, was made shuhada by the Zionist regime. And look at the outcry and the outroar from the global community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the marhumin and grant all the shuhada jannatul firdaus. Ameen, ya rabbal alameen. It's gone 25 minutes to 11 Central African time, and this is where we start. We have our segment with Maulana Zaid Khan, and he will take over with the Riyadh Salihin. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brother Suleiman, hope you well, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan, Maulana.
Just a quick question. The last hadith we did was hadith 520.
519 and 520.
So will you podcast those? The last,
yeah, it was 519, 520.
It will all fall under hadith 520. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today we'll move on to Hadith 521. Hadith 521. So if you recall in the previous Hadith, we spoke about Jabir radiallahu anhu and his wife and the whole incident that took place there, the miracle that was performed with the saliva of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And there, one message came through when we were doing that particular program, and it is a woman message to say that this is something that needs to be highlighted in today's times, because I'm assuming and presuming we men sometimes we come home and we don't realize that there is a whole procedure that needs to take place. Sometimes you get families where they are ever ready and they've got something ready, prepared or something of that. That's different, that's separate. But generally, the message that I understood was, and I'm sharing it with you so that men can improve on this and rather communicate, just like how Jabir radiallahu anhu, he came home, he communicated. And he mentioned, this is what my intentions are. And she then said, the wife said, radiallahu anha, mentioned how much there is. And of course, this was an exclusive situation because it is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you have a leader like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you know something and something is going to happen. Some miracle is going to happen. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam sanctioned it, said this, something is going to come out of this here. So, but generally, what's happening is that husbands come home. So this is separate. We're not saying Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they on a total different platform, on a total different status. But men who come home and they just insist without communication. We learn from Jabir radiallahu anhu, communication. And also playing your role. Doesn't mean now the woman must just be in charge of everything now since she has agreed to it. So everyone has to play their role. You saw Jabir radiallahu an, he was there, he was busy, active in the kitchen, if you could call it, and putting things together, making it happen. So often women, this is the message that I understood, that they are exhausted because you just come home, and I'm speaking of the homes which have deen alive in their homes. It's these things, this communication between spouses that is vitally important to say that, okay, there is a Jamaat here. Let me first find out. And I understand where men are coming from as well, because you're sitting in the masjid, everyone's looking, okay, who's going to give lunch? And you're the only person who didn't put your name down for anything. So you feel pressurized and you put your name down. But you don't realize that who has to suffer or who has to, it's rewarding. But if your wife cannot manage to cook for you, yourself, then you have to excuse her because she's sick or for some reason or the other. Now, if she has to cook for an entire Jamaat and she's not prepared mentally and you've now put your name down, without communicating, without going and seeing what is it, if it's just one or two people, that's different. But a whole group. So, of course, you have to first prepare their minds and say that, see, this is the situation. Can we manage it? Can't we manage it? And you cannot have that force upon the spouse, upon the wife to say you have to do it. Because then it's not going to be done happily. So, preparing the mind first, and if she's still in a good state and she's willing to go ahead with it, then you say, okay, what's so difficult? Why do we feel so pressurized? Sahaba radiallahu anhu were not like this. Do you know, upon occasion, look at the straightforwardness of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. They were, what you saw is what you understood. No hidden agendas, and that's what you enjoy when you meet with straightforward people. You know what you see is what you get. There's no something under in this, hidden in this pocket, in this agenda, nothing. That was Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Once upon occasion, a Sahabi invited Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam for da'wat. So the Sahabi said, only you, Ya Rasulullah, nobody else, only you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if my Aisha radiallahu anha doesn't come, I'm not coming. We say radiallahu anha. If she's not coming, then I can't accept your invitation. So the person said, okay, I'm only inviting you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if Aisha radiallahu anha is not invited, I'm not coming. So that was for that specific situation. So what happened was, it was the third time or so that he said, okay, I invite her also, then both can come. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, okay, now I'm coming because you invited Aisha radiallahu anha. But see, what I'm saying, what we're drawing our attention to is the straightforwardness. And if I can do it, I can manage. If I can't, I can't. Now, what happens is, this is especially common amongst the Indian homes, that we feel too pressurized and then we're doing something, but we're not doing it happily. So the true outcome of it is not achieved because you were supposed to be doing it in a happy mind, in a happy state. But that was not achieved. So the rewards also became less because you took on something you couldn't manage. So how to go about this? Men folk, when this opportunity arises, you first have to communicate with your wife, with your mother, with whoever. You can't just come home and say, and now you have to change the whole routine and expect things to go smoothly. You are going to be the one that's going to have to face everything afterwards. So that is why no one is discouraging from feeding. This is a beautiful action to feed. Feed, but do it in a manner that you and your spouse are together with the same. And her mind is prepared, your mind is prepared. And then you see the excellent outcome. Now, Sahaba radiallahu anhum's minds were prepared for this, especially when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to come home. Still, they were worried that it mustn't fall short. That was the concern, not going the extra mile. But food mustn't go short. That was the focus there. Now for us, it is the effort and it is the time that is, alhamdulillah, for the pleasure of Allah. We can do it. Men can do it. Because there's not much you're doing in the kitchen, but the woman has to now program their minds to this year. So I don't want to go more on this topic, but this year is something that we need to address and speak about amongst our spouses and see, okay, this is, and in the groups, then you don't just take on responsibilities which you yourself know that you can't manage. Say, I'm gonna ask, let me come back to you. Let's see what's the situation at home. There's no harm in doing that. And also, when now you have taken on this, we learn from Jabir radiallahu anhu, you also play your part. You cannot just leave everything for the woman to do. You play your part or you make sure there's someone there to assist. That's something that is, unless the woman is prepared and she can manage, that's different. But as we see, if I look at my granny, in her days, when just reflecting, I'm saying she passed away, Allah Azza wa Jal granted Jannah to Firdaus. But when we say superwoman, that's what we mean. That she could manage on a Friday Jummah lunch for how many people. They would be sad if nobody came for lunch. That was their mind. That was their state. If nobody came, that was a sad day for us in the home, in my granny's home. There had to be someone. Because it's a form of blessings. So I thought we'll just speak on this particular topic a little bit. There's a lengthy hadith that is coming up. And I'm not going to start this hadith now. But this hadith here is also to do with hunger. It's also to do with how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum sacrificed. And you just seen in the previous ahadith that we've spoken about. Inna ma'al usri yusra. After difficulty comes ease. After difficulty comes ease. You just cannot understand how these people in Gaza are still moving strong 676 days. Still moving strong. Whereas you and I, if we miss one meal, what's happening to us? Headache, this, that. Hey, I can't manage. I didn't have my meal for today. And you just missed one meal. How many meals have they missed? But you see, when Allah Azza wa Jal makes people go through difficulties, then He makes it easy for them in that difficulty. The test is for them. The test is for them. So Hadith 521 will start inshallah tomorrow. And this also has to do, this hadith is to do with Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu anhu. And Anas radiallahu anhu is narrating that Abu Talha, he said to his wife Umme Sulaym, that I heard the voice of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It sounded weak and I recognized hunger in it. Do you have any food? See, now this is with Abu Talha and his wife, Umme Sulaym. So this was that particular time. Previously, Jabir radiallahu anhu and his wife. Now we're looking at Abu Talha and his wife. And he, Abu Talha, recognizes the weakness in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam's voice and the hunger that is coming out from there. And then he asks her, do you have any food? She replied, yes, and took out some pieces of barley bread. This is another thing. Simplicity. Why, if you have to ask me, how come my granny and they could do all of these things? Because it was simple. They kept it simple. There was no formalities. Today, there is so many formalities that you can't just get away with anything. Where do we start breaking these formalities? It's with me. I mustn't be bothered. Our teacher told us once, this family came to visit them. Or someone came to visit. And they had absolutely nothing in the house for baking. So they made tea and they had just one packet of Mari biscuits. That's all. And they presented the Mari biscuits. It's just all they had. So normally you feel embarrassed, ashamed, you'll even go into debts just to impress the guest. No. Mari biscuits, they gave. And what happened was, the guest said, hey, do you know Mari biscuits is my favorite biscuit? This is my favorite biscuit. So the lesson that our teacher Ustad was teaching us is that through simplicity, you can do things. When you make things too complicated for yourself, yesterday we did the hadith, if you recall, that when you make deen too difficult, then what happens? You do not do it. You stay away from doing that. Allah Azza wa Jal has made it easy for you. But when you make it difficult for yourself, inna deena yusrun, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, deen is easy. وَلَيْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Nobody, whoever overburdens himself in his deen, will not be able to continue in that way. He won't be able to continue. You make it such a big deal when you're inviting few people. See, the best of creation is being invited. And here, Sahaba radiallahu anhum are taking pieces of barley bread. And this is what they were doing, taking off her scarf and wrapped the bread with one corner of it. And then making, this was, see how hands-on they were. Subhanallah. From these lessons, we get to understand that through simplicity, because that was the hadith that we did previously. Innal badadata minal iman. Innal badadata minal iman. Simplicity is from iman. So, you're inviting, you're calling over. You can have the most simplest, according to your means, you're not going to debts. You're trying to give them something that they enjoy also at the same time. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. That is key. But because it's become so difficult, so now the standards are, have been risen to such levels we can't reach them even. So we don't invite anymore. It, believe it, to go to visit someone is pretty difficult. You have to check times. You have to see it's not eating for many reasons. And you don't want to go and cause inconvenience. And also for others to come to your house. Why is this here? It is because we've made things too difficult for ourselves. I said to you, my granny kept it simple. It was standard Jumma. It was either she would make dal, and she knew I didn't like dal, so she would make before she turns it into dal, and I didn't know that first you have to make it into curry, and then you turn it into dal, something of that sort. Anyone can correct me from this. So, but something to this effect. You know how they, when you take precaution, you say something to this effect. So, changing it, she would then keep aside some rice and some curry or whatever it is before it's mixed into dal, and then I would eat that. But simple, no fancy, but people used to enjoy her warmness and a comfort that she used to offer and that my grandfather used to offer. There were certain things that now you'll say, okay, because now we understand more of deen, so now we have to implement more things. But for that time, they only knew that much. And they were still learning. So by our time now, parda, all of this becomes important now. So do not make things difficult for yourself. This is the lesson we'll end off with. وَلَيْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. A person, anyone who overburdens himself, a person does not overburden himself in deen, but except it will overpower him. So make it easy for yourself. إِنَّ الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ. Deen is easy. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
And that was our beloved Mawlana Zain Khan giving us pertinent advices and continuation of the hadith number 520 from Riyadhus Salihin. It's 6 minutes to 11 Central African time, and this is where we come to the end of our show, and we say Jazakallah Khairan to you, the listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Next up, inshallah, will be 11 o'clock news with Mawlana Zaid Khan. Thereafter will be the bliss of marriage with Mawlana Zaid Khan and Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. And thereafter, from 12 to 1, will be the news hour with Brother Alphas and Kosi. 1 o'clock will be our Dhuhr Azan. 5 plus 1 to 1:30 will be the tafsir of Surah Tawbah. And then 1:30 to 2 will be the tafsir of the Surah Ali Imran. 2 to 3 will be Brother Yusuf Ali with the lunch break hour with Brother Yusuf Ali. Then from 3 to 4 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 4 to 5 will be the lecture by Qari Hanif Multani. Then 4 to 5 will be the lecture. 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of Surah At-Tawbah. 7:30 to 8 will be the Nasiha by Maulana Dawood Sidat. And then at 8 p.m. they'll have a program. Then at 9 o'clock will be the Urdu lecture. Is it the Urdu lecture? Oh, no, it'll be the report back trip to Springs. That was yesterday, Mufti Saab's report back trip to Springs.
As long as nobody's...
And thereafter will be a lecture by Sheikh Anwar Olaki from 10 to 11, the major signs of the Qiyamah. So that will be your lineup from now until 11 a.m. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, Jazakallah Khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.